warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with my co-host David Niles in our studio.
The studio slash study
at my house, where the Catholic Man Show is recorded.
Hashtag trademark.
Yes.
I trademark it right now.
This is where we record the Catholic Man Show every week.
Every week.
And the Catholic Man Show is here.
With some exception, but not many.
Yes. And the Catholic Man Show is here to encourage men to live Catholic every single day, to be bold, to be a man, and to be a saint, really.
Just word.
To be a saint.
What else is there?
That's right. To quote our friend Patrick Coffin.
Uh-huh.
Name drop.
Our close personal friend.
Dave, every episode we do three things, except for last episode. But normally we do three things.
Well, actually, we did them last episode, but they didn't make it on the air.
Right. It was really frustrating. Last week we did a full episode. We had it all done. We had a special guest, Father Brian Ketterer, and we actually had a sweet beer from Estonia.
Yeah.
Our buddy Michael Miley gave it to
awesome.
Us.
It was awesome.
And it was delicious, a grapefruit IPA.
And Father Brian gave, you know, all kinds of good info about the
beer
and beer in general. And
but unfortunately,
you didn't get it. You just did not get it.
You did not get it. Our equipment just did not cooperate with us. And in the 11th hour, we had to come up with something else. So you got a chance to hear our interview that we did with Matthew James Christoff, from the founder of newevangelization.com, that we did actually for the friends of the show. But Dave, every episode we do three things typically. What are they?
We do the three things, which are we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. We highlight a man gear of some kind, something that every man should have and use in their day-to-day life, especially the Catholic man. And then finally, we have the most manly discussion you've ever heard in your life.
That's what we do.
Those are the three things.
Those are the three things. Dave, can you give me like 60 seconds to get on a like soapbox for 60 seconds or so?
Sure.
I mean, you don't time me.
I will allow it.
But I was praying before you got here tonight about, you know, things that we need to be talking about. And I thought, you know, 2017's coming, you know, and every year, you know, everybody's trying to
be here in a few days.
Yeah, be here in a few days. And every man is trying to come up with new things to make them a better man, a better Catholic, starting in 2017. And so I wanted to kind of give just a quick word of encouragement on what we should on maybe something that we should think about. And outside of obviously, you know, staying close to the sacraments, going to Mass, getting your family to Mass, let's talk about the importance of brotherhood for 60 seconds.
Okay.
Dave, I think that you and I both hear a whole lot. At least I do. I hear people tell me like, man, I just wish I had a friend like you have in David.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that I had a men's group like you and David have. And I started thinking about it and I thought, well, why don't men have that? You know,
yeah.
Why do I hear that all the time? And I know that there's certain circumstances that come up, you know, like we have a very unusual circumstance of we grew up together, we stayed together, our circumstances like just kind of fell in line where we continue to becoming friends.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But I think that it's important to remember that brotherhood is a very important part of our Catholic faith, especially for men.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, well, why is it that men aren't doing that? And one of the things that I thought of was, you know, we live in this social media world where a man can have 5,000 friends on Facebook, but he can't call one guy to come help him when he needs help with yard work.
Yeah, to help him move.
Right. And so why is that? And I think that a lot of it has to do with, just like in an interrelationship, we aren't able to self-sacrifice for relationships. David, you and I have had this relationship, but it's taken time to develop. And, you know, we live in this microwave society where we want instant gratification. And one thing that apps don't provide is true friendship.
Yeah.
Because it takes time.
Well, you know, it does take, it's better, but it doesn't actually take a whole lot of time. If you want to have a friend, be a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, like our buddy Juan Posada.
Right.
He is the prime example of, if you meet him, he's like your new instant best friend. And if you needed to move, he would be there.
Right.
And there's just something about his authenticity mm-hmm. that you know he would be there. And so if he needed something, if he needed help moving, you just met this guy yesterday, you'd be there to help him move. You mm-hmm. know, so it's really about, I think, more than the time is, you know, a really beautiful process that really solidifies the friendship. But mm-hmm. I think if you really want more friends, be a friend.
Absolutely.
You know, be willing to extend yourself, mm-hmm. become a friend to somebody. You can't do this for everybody.
Right.
You know, but those people that are around you.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, you and I have both, like, we through our friendship, we've kind of butted heads at times. There's been times where you've done stuff for me that I know you didn't really want to, and I've done stuff for you that, you know, wasn't really convenient at the time.
Sure.
But as a friend, that's what you do. That's how friendships are made.
Bro code, dude.
Right. And so I think that it's important to remember, you know, coming into 2017, to put our phones down. And this is something that I struggle with a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
But how many times have you and I in our families with other families been at, you know, a restaurant, sitting down and eating, and we're pulling out our phones, checking social media?
Yeah.
Why do you do that? We're in a social setting.
Yeah, I don't do that.
We don't need to do that.
It's not copacetic.
Right. And so I think that we need to put our phones down and have a conversation with somebody. You know, really extend, like, well, how are you? How's your family doing?
You mean look somebody in the eyes?
Look somebody in the eyes. You know, have eye contact. Have real, personal, engaged relationships. So anyway, I just felt like I had to say that.
You feel better?
I feel better about it. Like, yes, I do. Because I felt like that.
Way to go, buddy.
I feel like, you know, with 2017 coming, like, that should be something that you should.
You think Pope Francis should make it the year of friendship?
That would be sweet.
Did he name a year? I'm not sure.
That
I haven't heard anything. Maybe he did. I just didn't hear it. But anyway, okay. We need to get to our beverage.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
You picked it out. So
I picked it out because our buddy Harrison Garlick told me about it a long time ago when I went over to his house mm-hmm. for a smoke and a drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Ardbeg, mm-hmm. Ardbeg.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a scotch.
It's a scotch. It's an Islay scotch.
Which is nice because we haven't had a scotch in a while.
Well,
last week was a... bourbon.
On the show, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
But he's the one who really got me going on Lafroy. And he said, you know, if you kind of like Lafroy, you'll like this one. And so I wanted to try it. I brought it home. And it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of in the same vein, sort of.
Well, let's cheers, and then we'll talk about
it. Okay, yeah, so we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
May your 2017 be a saintly one.
And full of authentic friendship.
Yep.
So, for me, first of all, the color.
Yeah, let's talk about the color.
Pale. It's very light.
Very, extremely light. Lighter than lemonade.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to think
like
of...
lighter than apple juice. It's almost... Yeah, I mean, it's very
like
light.
Half water, half apple juice. If you mm-hmm. dilute it about half and half, that's about what you get. It's a very pale
right.
color. One of the palest that I remember.
So, go ahead.
No, you after you.
Okay. So the nose, to me, you don't get that strong peatiness like that you do with Lafroy 10.
Yeah, with Lafroy, you walk through the room and everybody can smell
it.
Your drink. Yeah.
Right. But you can smell a little bit of, you smell the wood, the oak, you smell a little bit of licorice. I smell a little licorice.
Yeah.
In there. And then on the palate, you get this like, you know, for Lafroy, I get this like seaweed type of peatiness. With this peatiness, it's more of a smoky peaty. And it's also a citrusy. I get more of pears or mm-hmm. some kind of cinnamon. I get a little cinnamon, a little licorice.
Mm-hmm.
But the smokiness hits at the end.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like a Macallan in the front, Lafroy in the back. That's just what strikes me when I keep
the mullet of scotch.
Well, actually, that imagery was like it's a reverse mullet, you know, kind of, which is kind of like the thing these days. You know, it's long in the front, short in the back. That's what people are doing. You know, like get the barber shop, like the it's super long on top and then like a one guard all the way around the side.
Yeah.
It was $42. So it's about, I think I typically find Laphroaig for 40. So mm-hmm. it's about the same price. But
I get a lemon also.
Yeah.
A little lemon on the
and
nose.
It's iodine. Laphroaig is definitely an iodine flavor, but this just has a little less peat mm-hmm. and more smoke. And so I think because of that, the peat isn't in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up on the iodine a little bit more.
Get a little tobacco taste as well.
It's also...
It'd be great with a cigar.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal with a pipe or cigar.
It's also 92%. Alcohol, so it's stronger, but for being that
it's
strong,
like double though, then, huh?
Well, it's
isn't
instead of 80,
okay,
instead of 40 proof, it's 46 proof,
okay.
So, but it's very strong or it's very smooth for being over 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah, it's 46 proof,
okay.
Is that 90%? That's not 90%.
I don't know, dude. Everybody always tells me about it, and I'm like, I just have to take your word for it, because I'm not really sure how to calculate
What's 46 times 2? 92.
92?
Yeah, so it's 92%.
Okay.
But it's very smooth.
Yes.
For that. Man, people are going to laugh at us for that little math problem we just had.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have a live segment.
Yeah.
So, when we get back, we're going to actually talk about the man gear that we were going to talk about last week.
Yeah.
So, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So, raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles.
I am Adam Minahan.
And we are the hosts of the Catholic Man Show. You are listening to this episode of the Catholic Man Show 2.0.
That's right.
As we said earlier, we attempted to record this episode. We did record this episode.
Yeah, we did.
Last week, we did not drink Ardbeg 10-year like we are today. We had a delicious grapefruit IPA.
Mm-hmm.
From Estonia,
mm-hmm.
that was supplied by our bro Mike Miley,
uh-huh.
the drummer from Rival Sons, who their band was named like one of the top bands of 2016 by iTunes this year,
which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, I was like, well, yeah, I could have told you that. I mean,
they're really awesome.
If you guys haven't checked out Rival Sons, you really got to check them out. They're badass.
Yeah.
So this is 2.0.
This is 2.0.
Because we recorded it all.
Yeah.
And then something happened.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're doing it again.
Yeah, we got lost the audio. So
we are sans Father Brian Ketterer. Mm-hmm. So it's just not going to be the same, but we're going to do our best.
It's not as holy.
That's true.
It's not as holy of an episode.
Yeah. So,
but we're going to try our best.
Here we go.
We're going to pick up the slack as the best we can.
Like I said, we are drinking Ardbeg. Mm-hmm. 10-year.
10-year.
Which is super good.
A scotch.
It's an Islay scotch.
A great scotch to drink in your Catholic Mancho Glencairn glass.
Mmm. Spectacular. The man gear for this week is Verbum Bible Software.
Yes. And I love it.
Oh, man. So, for those of you who don't know what Verbum is, which I think is probably most of you...
Right.
Verbum is basically a database software. I stumbled upon it when you, like, I don't know where you went, and you came home with it somewhere. You went somewhere, and you're like, dude, look what I found, and I bought it. And it was...
Yeah, I can't even remember where I went, but...
Well, anyway, you found it first,
mm-hmm.
and it, like, totally blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because... Basically, it will make you a scholar just because you've got it. I mean, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but it kind of does.
So what it does is you have a library of different books,
right,
that it categorizes for you. Basically, like, you know, Bibles, catechisms, spiritual readings, papal encyclicals, basically almost anything that you, I mean, you can get different packages where there's different books within these packages, but you can get all these different books. And so what you do is it's a search engine, basically. You type in a specific topic or a word or whatever, and then it pulls up everything about that in your library, and then gives you, like, with the Bible, like, if you type in love, it'll give you how many times it's,
right,
you know, it love is in the Bible and the different meanings of it and the breakdowns and all of the all the eschatological parts of every single part of the Bible.
Yeah, so there's many different ways you can use it. One way you can do it is for Bible study, and that's what it was originally designed for. So you pull up a verse. Here's that verse, and then here it is in Greek, and then here is that verse in Hebrew. It's like all kind of in one window. You know, you kind of have multiple you divide your screen up into sections is what it will do, and then you can have the Hebrew and the Greek, and you can click on word by word through the English, and it will show you this is the word in Greek and Hebrew that mm-hmm. we get this English word from. So, mm-hmm. boom, it's like you're a Hebrew and Greek scholar, because it's like, well, the word, and then it's like, oh, the word in Greek, and there's this definition. Mm-hmm. You can see, like, when you're reading the Bible, you can click on a word. If you're not sure, it's kind of, 'cause sometimes you come across a word, and you're like, I wonder what other translations or what other options are there are for this translation. 'Cause, you know, that mm-hmm. happens a lot in Bible study. So you can click on that word, and it says, here is the word in Greek. Here is every other time this word appears in the Bible, and here are the other ways it's been translated throughout the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. So, and it'll say, like, most of the time it's translated this way, mm-hmm. and most, you know, then it's this and this and this and this. It is just crazy the amount of information you can get, mm-hmm. and the light that it sheds on your Bible study. So the other way you can use it is kind of like what you were saying, which is what we do in preparation for our show. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say we want to look up something in the Summa mm-hmm. Theologica mm-hmm. by the man
Theologia.
Saint, Theologia. Not Theologica?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, if I read my verbum better, I guess I'd know that. But what you can do is you can type in a topic. Like, okay, we did an episode on hope several weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to verbum, search the word hope, mm-hmm. and it'll instantly pull up, here's the every time this word appears in all of your, in
right.
your whole library. But then you can focus it down into just the Summa.
Right.
So here's what St. Thomas Aquinas has to say on the virtue of hope,
mm-hmm.
and it'll pull up, you know, the way the Summa is written is like by questions. Like,
mm-hmm.
Man, it is just incredible.
In fact, on our episode 5, where we did the Mass in the Bible and the Mass, I used verbum a lot
in that
episode because,
sure.
you know, to reference, okay, well, where does this come from? Where does this come from?
Yeah, where in the Bible
is this, you know, phrase
yeah,
or whatever.
Part of the liturgy, yeah. Type in a phrase of the liturgy. Where does it come from?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like for any guy who is looking to up their game in their spiritual, you know, in their theology.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're wanting to get it for a priest as a gift.
Yeah.
It's not super cheap, but
no.
It's well worth the money. You know, I think the packages range from anywhere between probably $200 on up.
Yeah, I think it starts at around $200 for the software, and then it just comes down to what resources do you want in your library.
Right.
I mean, and I think it's thousands of dollars if you get the you know, Holy Moly package.
Right.
But you do not need the Holy Moly package. But I think I spent about $400
mm-hmm.
on mine.
I think I did too.
Which got all of
or not
the,
quite. I think I've spent $350 or something.
You know, so I got like the linear, the language translators, which allow you to do the Hebrew and the Greek and all that stuff. And I mean, I got books and books. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but so when you do, there'll be a package and it'll tell you if you buy all these books individually, it would cost you about $7,000.
Right.
And you can get
if you got about hardbacks.
Yeah. All the books in print.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get it for like $250. You know, to add
right.
this package in.
Right.
And it's true. Like, if you, and it's hundreds of books.
Right.
Like, I have everything that was ever written by the church fathers,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
Which is a lot.
So, when I'm reading the Bible, I can say, I wonder any time...
St. Augustine said something about this.
Yeah, this...
The Eucharist.
This verse has been mentioned by any of the church fathers. And see, like, what the context is that they put on this verse. Especially when you come to these kind of, like, confusing or controversial verses.
Yeah.
You know, you can see...
Petra...
Right.
Peter, the Lithos,
exactly.
You know.
Or if you're, you know, in a debate with someone from a, you know, a different religious background, you can see, well, this is what the early church fathers said about the verse in, you know, in context or in question here.
Right.
It is fantastic. So when we were talking about this last week with Father Brian Ketterer, he was explaining how he uses it
for his homilies.
Exactly. To prepare for his homilies, to write his homilies. In fact, there's a homily builder.
Mm-hmm.
As part
That's
of the software, which obviously I don't use because I don't give homilies, but
right.
He,
thank goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. but he was saying how invaluable it is to him as a priest. So I think it's a great idea as a parish. Mm-hmm. If that's something that, if you have a priest who is, you know, likes to use technology, it's really not complicated. I was able to just download it and kind of intuitively figure out how to use it.
Right. But they give you great videos on how to,
that's
how
true.
To use it.
That's true. There's like, I think...
Step by step.
I called and asked a question one time about how to do something, and they have good customer service, but they said, here, we'll give you all these videos. And they gave me 100 videos, that which just goes to show you all the different things you can do. I mean, you can really get
But Jimmy
complex.
Aiken uses it.
So what I like to do, the way I use it is as an e-reader. Because, once again, everything is connected to every other resource that I have. So right now I'm reading The Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross. He's always referencing, you know, oh, he'll say this because of this Bible verse.
Right.
And I can just, when he says, oh, because of John, blah, 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 I can just touch that and boom, it pulls up that Bible
verse.
I don't have to now go get a Bible and open it up just to get the context of what St. John means when he references this Bible verse.
Hashtag first world problems.
Yeah, dude, I know.
I mean, it's like, what a pain, huh?
And it's like sometimes, you know, go to adoration, you don't even know what the Wi-Fi password is.
Oh,
you know?
That's
like,
the worst.
But
they also do, like, you know, it is somewhat expensive, but they give you an option to pay it out monthly.
Yeah.
And I think it's like 0% or like maybe 1%. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's how I did it. And I can't even remember because it's been a few years since I did it. But, you know, I paid like $35.
But you don't have to do it all at once. You can like get a package.
Right.
And you can add packages on later.
Mm-hmm.
And every month there's a free book that you can download.
Yeah, they give you to help with your
It really
grow
is
your
awesome.
Library.
I mean, it's one of my favorite. It's one of the my favorite Catholic things. I mean, just because it is... Otherwise, the Summa would be useless to me. I don't know how else I would be able to search through it to find something that is applicable to what I'm trying to research.
Dude, Dave Palmer from the Guadalupe Network just picked it up one day and read it cover to cover. Like,
see, I think that would be terrible. Because it's not a story. You know, it's
no.
like, what about this question?
Well, it's just, yeah.
And then, what about a slight variation on the question I just answered?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what about a different slight variation? It's like, oh my gosh. You know, but if you're trying to find out about hope, and it's like, oh yeah, well, I do want to hear all these variations about hope, then it's very cool.
Right.
But otherwise, it's like, oh, I could never read it.
Yeah. It's a great source. I strongly suggest getting it for your priest if you can. Get your parish together, buy it for your priest.
And there is a discount
when you
website
yeah.
we will tell you about on the other side of the break.
We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise
your glass. We will be back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And our glass is filled a little bit with Ardbeg Tin Scotch. Very delicious scotch. If you're a big fan of Laphroaig Tin, I highly recommend this one.
I kind of put it in that category of a Laphroaig, just because of the peaty, smokiness of it.
It's very good.
And the aftertaste hangs with you.
Yes, it does. Which I
like.
Which you both like.
Yeah.
We just got done talking about our man gear of the week, which was Verbum Bible Software. You can go to CatholicConvert.com, which is Steve Ray's website, and get a discount.
I believe a 10% discount.
I think that's correct. But go on to his website.
So go to his website to get that discount,
and
if it's still there.
And his website's really great off.
Yeah, check out some of the other stuff he's got.
Yeah. So
Steve Ray's cool.
Steve Ray is cool. So
Steve Ray, call me. Call me Steve. Hey, before we get started, Adam, I have good news.
I need some.
We finally got our first one-star review.
Oh, yes. That's true.
It was awesome.
When I talked to Raymond Arroyo at EWTN, and I was telling him about our show and things like that, he said, listen, you need to be prepared for backlash, for people not liking your show, and you should expect it and you should want it.
Well, I've been excited. I've literally been excited about, like, I can't wait till someone just writes a review about our show telling us how terrible we are. And it hasn't, like, every review we've had until this one has been 5 stars, you know, mm-hmm. because we tell people to do that, I guess. I don't know. But this one was awesome. The title of it was Disgusting Propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of the Jerry Jones, Al Davis philosophy of, you know, cheer or boo as long as they're making noise.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what Raymond Arroyo was saying. He's like, listen, if you're not saying stuff that is getting people emotionally involved, you're doing something wrong. If you're not pushing their buttons, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and to live an authentic man lifestyle, to be the man God made you to be, is countercultural. Mm-hmm. So it's going to piss some people off. I mean, that's the truth. And it only makes sense. And this person, we don't know if they're a man or a woman. Listen, you were warned, okay? Every episode, we warn you.
We warn you.
If you cannot handle high levels of manliness, don't listen, okay? It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your brain to hear the things that we do on the show. And obviously, this person's brain was hurting pretty bad.
A lot of
all caps. It was... I don't know if you can go and see the reviews for our show. You should go check it out. It's a sweet review.
Well, and I mean, you know, Dave, we've made it very clear that we're just two regular guys, you know, trying to live our Catholic life in a secular world. This isn't an academic show. You know, we're not Scott Hahn. We're not Tim Staples. We don't even try to pretend to be. We're just trying to help men, you know, grow closer to Christ, because that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and do some curls while you're at it. You could use bigger biceps.
So anyway, it was kind of interesting, but... Go and give us a 5-star review to counter it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk about indulgences.
Indulgences,
because
okay.
That's something that we were going to talk about last week.
That's right. And we did talk about it last week, and it went really well. But once again, 2.0.
Yeah.
It's even better. Bigger, better.
So Dave, I think we need to lay it out on what does sin do?
Okay.
So I'll ask you, what does sin do?
It kills you, man.
Kills you.
The wages of sin are death.
That's right.
And you will die. But seriously, when you sin, particularly a mortal sin, mm-hmm. You not only receive guilt, mm-hmm. but you also receive a stain, a permanent stain put on your soul from that sin, mm-hmm. a permanent stain that is going to attach you more to that sin.
Yeah.
Make you...
Or a temporal punishment.
Yeah, so, well, the temporal punishment helps remove that permanent stain on your sin. There is a punishment due by justice.
Mm-hmm. So the two things are guilt and temporal punishment.
Yes.
Those are the two things
mm-hmm.
that happen when you sin.
Well, those two things, well, temporal punishment is owed.
They're the two consequences.
Consequences.
That's what...
Good word.
Yeah.
Good word.
They're the two consequences of sin, which is guilt and temporal punishment.
So we go to confession, and we have the guilt removed because mm-hmm. we are forgiven. But mm-hmm. there is still the temporal punishment
Or baptism.
Or baptism.
Baptism will get the guilt and temporal punishment removed.
Sure, but you can... That's like a one-shot deal.
Right.
Yeah, so...
I just had to make sure...
If you've done been baptized, don't go attempt it again, because that would be a fallacy or
no,
something.
No, sacrilege.
Sacrilege. It's just something bad. I don't know.
It's not a fallacy.
It's a spiritual fallacy. I don't remember covering those on our fallacy episode, but it's a spiritual fallacy. So when you go to confession, let me explain it this way. This is kind of a cheesy analogy, but I think it works. Let's say you are a log. Your soul is like this beautiful beautiful piece of pine, okay? A nice log, white pine.
No, white pine's not beautiful.
It's not?
No.
I mean, when it's tall.
No, white pine's not. Anyway, go ahead.
What is it that they talk about? They like in the Lebanese, the trees of Lebanon, they talk about those in the Bible a lot. Let's say you're a nice Lebanese tree.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Okay.
And you're beautiful.
Maybe olive wood.
I don't think it's olive wood, but olive wood is also beautiful. Pick your wood. Whatever wood you want to be. Let's say you're a nice, beautiful piece of that. You're just this nice log, okay? And there you are. And then when you commit a sin,
what?
It's like you take an axe and you just go like, wham, right into that log.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dang it. And so then you go to confession and you have the axe removed,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the sin has been forgiven. However, you still have like this wedge in the side of your log that is, you know, it's nothing. It's not perfect anymore. Your log, it's not the kind of log that you're going to see in heaven, okay? Because, you know, nothing imperfect can enter heaven.
Right.
So that's got to be fixed. So you're either going to do that by making atonement for it in this life, or you're going to take a little purgation, a little pit stop on the way to heaven after your judgment, assuming you qualify.
Right. So, and to help remove all the temporal punishment while on earth, the church grants us indulgences.
Right. So an indulgence.
Do you want me to read the definition of the catechism?
I have it right here.
Oh, okay. It's 1471 for you guys that maybe want to look it up afterwards.
An indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven, which the faithful Christian who is duly disposed gains under certain prescribed conditions through the actions of the church, which, as the minister of redemption, dispenses and applies with the authority, the treasure of the sanctifications of Christ and the saints.
Mm-hmm.
So the church was given by Jesus Christ the ability over sin, authority over sin. And part of that includes this ability
to bind and loose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Matthew 18:18.
In John 20:23.
Yes.
So part of that authority is to have authority over the punishment, the temporal punishment due to sin.
Mm-hmm.
So this permanent stain. So that is why it happens. Now, indulgences break down into two ways.
And let's just like praise God for this gift, this treasure that the church gives us.
Totally.
I think that a lot of people like start getting nervous about indulgences when you bring it up, but it is praise God for this gift of indulgences that Mother Church has given us as a spiritual treasure for us, people on earth.
It's not something we should shy away from. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it, and we're going to cover some of those in the second half of this discussion, this manly discussion about indulgences.
That's right.
But indulgences break down into two forms. There are partial, and then there are plenary indulgences.
Correct.
Plenary comes from the word meaning full. So like in Latin, Ave Maria, Gratia Plena, that's Gratia Plena, that means full of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So plenary is a full indulgence. So if you go to confession and then you receive a plenary indulgence, and boom, get hit by a truck, you're going to heaven, straight to heaven, because there you have just received total forgiveness and reparation of all the temporal punishment due to every sin you've ever committed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
tough to get one.
It is. It's well, yeah, exactly.
It's tough to get a plenary.
We'll talk about some of the requirements, and the last one is the gotcha.
Yeah.
So if it's not a plenary indulgence, then it's a partial indulgence, and you know. It's the church doesn't measure how much, like, well, was it a 50% partial? You know, like, how close are we to being a plenary indulgence here? That kind of is up to you and the reverence by which you do the act for which you receive the partial indulgence.
That's correct.
Okay, so there are. Thank you for that affirmation. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. There are. Let's talk about. You think we're ready to talk about the rules for how to get them?
I don't know if we're going to have enough time.
Let's name them, and we'll discuss them more on the other side. How about that?
Okay, well, let's make sure that we tell... If you're looking this up, indulgences, let's make sure you look up something that's written after 1968, because the church revised it on its regulations after 1968. So they kind of also In January of 2000, the Apostolic Penitentiary also gave it a longer time frame to get to confession.
Which we needed to. Let's just go ahead and say, okay, so to receive a plenary indulgence, you must make a good confession, receive communion, pray for the Holy Father, and do an act that the church has said is it will grant you, you know, a good act. There's a list that the church says these are the things that can will grant you a plenary indulgence. And finally, the kicker is you need to have a total detachment from all sin.
You need to be tough to do.
Totally detached from all sin. So that is the kicker. Right. The church also says if you fail to meet any of those requirements, your plenary indulgence will become a partial indulgence.
And like I said, if you 3 weeks, you got 3 weeks to go to confession, you know, for that.
I think
indulgence.
It's 20 days.
20 days, yeah. So if you go to confession every 6 weeks, you basically get an indulgence every day if you think about it.
Well,
we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. We are still on the hunt for the individuals who ripped off our intro music. We're still looking. We're coming after you. And we will be ever so gentlemanly. We'll be so forcefully gentlemanly. It's going to be crazy. It's just going to be a spectacle to behold.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. We're sitting here talking about indulgences, what they are, what they ain't. As we say here in Oklahoma, we're fixing to explain it to you. Also what we say here in Oklahoma. Here in Oklahoma, we're fixing to do stuff.
I reckon.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, I'm not a ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
It's more fun to say yes, ma'am, because you can put a ma'am on it. Sir is just kind of sir. Anyway. Adam, right before the break, you were talking about, we were kind of talking about 20 days. So.
Yeah, kind of opened that up with.
It used to be. A week. And in fact,
eight days.
Was it 8 days?
8 days.
Okay. Well, it's not 8 days anymore. I have the Handbook of Indulgences, which you can get at your local Catholic book and gift store. It's not very expensive. And it's a cool book.
It is a cool book.
Because it goes through, here's all the prayers that the church has officially attached indulgences to, whether partial or plenary. It tells you, here is the official list of everything you can do in a normative way to get a plenary indulgence. I say normative because there are, if you're enrolled in certain orders, there are other special circumstances that allow for plenary indulgences, but we're talking about just the normal ones right now. So now the time frame is 20 days. In the handbook, it says several days. So you have what it says, several days to complete all of the things necessary for a plenary indulgence, which were confession, reception of the Eucharist, praying for the Pope, doing the act that grants the indulgence, and then having total
detachment
from sin. So you have several days. Well, the church said, what is several? They defined it as 20 days. So one confession will apply to many plenary indulgences. You're only allowed to grant to be, receive one plenary indulgence per day. I mean, this is if you can even receive, you know, if you've even reached that where you can receive.
I think it's important also to say 20 days, it's either before or after.
Right, so we have a 20-day period to complete all of those things.
Right,
So let's say you do the act, receive communion, and then like, 20 days later you remember, I need to pray for the Pope. Boom, now you've done it all within 20 days.
Right.
So you get it. So if you pray for the Pope every day, go to daily Mass. And are doing something to receive a plenary indulgence, which could be half an hour of adoration.
Or reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible.
Half an hour of reading the Bible.
Yeah, not just reading the Bible, but reading the Bible devoutly is what it says. In a manner worthy of the Word of God is kind of the wording it uses. Yeah, so you can receive a plenary indulgence every day. There is an exception. On the day of your death, you can receive a plenary indulgence and then receive one again at the hour of your death. So the day you die, you can get two.
Okay.
If you can even get one.
Yeah.
Because remember, total detachment from sin.
Yeah, tough.
But how do you get total detachment from sin? You know, indulgences will help you get there.
Yeah.
It's, we talked
it's
about
grace.
This stain on your soul. Mm-hmm. Okay, that stain is like a magnet that will continue to draw you towards that sin. The more you commit a sin, it mm-hmm. becomes a spiritual habit that you will be more likely, you'll be more seduced by that sin because of the effect it has had on your soul.
Correct.
So indulgences help remove this. Mm-hmm. This is why you need them. Indulgences are a crucial thing to help you grow in your spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't get them by accident.
Right, you have to
the
be
church
intentional.
Says, yeah, you must do the act with the intent of receiving an indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
So indulgences can be applied to yourself or to the dead.
Which is a big thing. Okay, so as a man, it's important, you know, for obviously yourself, but also for your family members who have passed on. If you have your parents or loved ones or even family members that you've never even heard of before.
Yeah, you like can, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Right, you can apply that to him.
Who was a sinner? I'll tell you, he was.
And God, you know, is outside of space and time, so he knows that that's something you're going to do and can apply it to your
right, so picture
family
this.
Member.
Even though he died like 1,000 years ago, you could mm-hmm. do a plenary indulgence for him, and that could be applied to him because, like you said, outside of space and time,
mm-hmm.
God, at the moment of your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's judgment, is mm-hmm. going to gather up all of the prayers for this person. It doesn't matter what point in time they come from.
Right, because he's outside of it.
And he will apply those prayers to that person.
Right.
So you
beautiful
can,
thing.
You can still pray for his judgment.
Our God is a merciful God.
And if it turns out he doesn't need them, no prayers go to waste. God mm-hmm. will apply them to the person that he sees fit mm-hmm. to apply them to.
Okay, so Dave, so why else is it important for us men to know about indulgences?
Well, I think also it's important because there's a lot of misconceptions.
Definitely.
About indulgences.
We're going to be the ones that are going to be having to teach it to our kids. So we got to make sure that we know what those misconceptions are to be able to teach them to our kids.
Right. So one of the misconceptions, and I think this is probably the biggest one, is that the church used indulgences to raise money. That you could buy an indulgence, or that it was just, oh, the church was going through a capital campaign, so to speak,
right.
in the Dark Ages.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, hey, give us money and we'll grant you an indulgence. Like,
right.
Ooh. In fact, the Crusades were largely fueled by indulgence. You would get a plenary indulgence for going on crusade.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the big draws to go on a crusade,
right.
was for a plenary indulgence. So this is simply not true. The church mm-hmm. never sold indulgences. There may have been certain bishops, certain individuals
there are
in the church
within the church that were doing that wrongly, and
who,
the church like,
who may have granted an it said yes, you'll receive an indulgence if
right.
you give me
in fact that's why Martin
dollars.
Luther like you know added that to his 95 thesis that he is, you know, nailed onto the door.
That's also a myth.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
true.
I know, but I mean...
Martin Luther had no problem with indulgences. He had a problem with, people's use of indulgence.
Yeah, that the monk, you know,
but,
Johann...
But a lot of people think he had a problem with indulgences in general.
Well,
it
was selling of the indulgences.
Right, okay, so even still today, you get an indulgence for making a contribution to charity.
That's correct.
So if you tithe, and you know, if you go above and beyond
mm-hmm.
your giving, then you can receive an indulgence for that.
And I think,
it doesn't matter if you give it to the church or another, you know, holy charity.
Right. I think it's important to remember, though, that what we were just talking about, that the church quickly rectified that situation and, you know, said that is not how indulgences are used.
Yeah.
And made sure that here's the guidelines for it. They took the appropriate steps once they found out about it to make sure that that's not that wasn't being misused.
Right. And so the other misconception is about indulgences shortening your time in purgatory, like by a number of days, as if like, oh, this indulgence is worth this many days. That's never been true either. That comes from a misconception or just a incorrect knowledge about the way penance used to be given out.
Mm-hmm.
The number of days attached to indulgences, what used to be attached to indulgences, was more to do with your penance in this life. So if you would be go to confession, the priest might say your penance is to sit outside of the church for 7 weeks.
Right.
As people are coming in, you will not be attending Mass. You'll be outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your penance.
Right.
Penances used to be like pretty, they were pretty intense.
Right.
I mean, like, and sometimes I kind of wish they were more intense now, because it certainly prevented you from committing that sin again. Let me tell you. So if you did an indulgence, that would shorten that penance by so many days.
Right. Right. That's
but it had nothing to do with purgatory. It had to do with penance in this life that you were doing.
And I think it's also important to make sure we try to figure out common ground with a lot of Protestants or fundamentalists as we're talking about this. You know, many of Protestants and fundamentalists believe, as Catholics do, that baptism prepares a person immediately to enter heaven.
Which it does.
Which it does. Thus, they are they share the Catholic belief that baptism wipes away both guilt and punishment of sin.
Which it does.
These Protestants believe that the Church, through their ministers, can remove both guilt and punishment of sin. So they agree with Catholics in principle that the Church does have that power to remove the punishment and guilt as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a common ground right there.
Right.
So it's easy to take that, and then let's take it. Okay, so the Church does have the capabilities of doing this, correct? We're on the same page? Okay, now let's move on.
And I think you might have to have a discussion about, does purgatory exist?
Absolutely,
which is not what this episode's about, but
right.
Have that discussion first.
It's important to have common ground first and then move on.
Right. So indulgences are just crucial. One of the things I mentioned earlier is that you might belong to a fraternal order.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I brought that up is because I did the consecration to Mary through Jesus, the St. Louis de Montfort.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've done it too, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went and enrolled myself. There is a fraternity for people who have done this. And as an enrolled member of the fraternity, I benefit from all of the spiritual benefits of the fraternity. So I am eligible to get one every first Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
As well as other days like the Day of the Immaculate Conception is celebrated, the Incarnation, like all of these other days.
Right. So I think that it's important to also, you know, to get partial indulgences. You can do something as easy as make the sign of the cross with the intention to get a partial indulgence. Say the Guardian Angel Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the Memoir. I think that it's
important. Memorare.
Memorare. Yeah. And I think it's important to remember to go read the Catechism, because it lays out beautifully. 1472 is where you want to go on the Catechism.
Yeah. So think about it. Be more intentional with your acts of charity.
That's right. We just got done drinking some Arbeg 10-year. The man gear was
Verbum Bible Software.
And we just talked about some indulgences on a manly discussion. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. And give us a 5-star review.
Stay manly.